Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Look, I don't have to remind you all, we're about a week away from August 2nd. We need to get an outcome. And to get an outcome, a Republican House, a Democratic Senate, and a Democratic President have to reach an agreement. We had, I thought, pretty close Sunday afternoon to getting there. And we're going to have to get back together and get a solution here. We cannot get a perfect solution, from my point of view, controlling only the House of Representatives. So I'm prepared to accept something less than perfect because perfect is not achievable.
That's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky saying he's ready to accept the less than perfect solution to resolve this problem with the budget and the debt, et cetera, et cetera. So let's get started with that in this hour of our Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen, happy to have you along. And we'll start by listening to a segment from Fox, Greta Van Susteren here with White House Senior Advisor David Plouffe. They talk about the president and what he hoped to gain by making that prime time address to the American people the other night.
Why did the president want to speak to the American people? What do you hope to achieve by speaking to them directly?
Well, first of all, 8 days from now, if Congress doesn't act, the nation would default for the first time, and that would cause huge economic catastrophe. So I think it's important to let the country know we're getting close to that. And that most importantly, we're actually at a moment in Washington where both parties seem to be committed to debt reduction. At least a lot of members of both parties agree on the scale of it. And we're just having a disagreement about the composition. But to get through the crisis at the moment is going to require compromise. And that's what we need to see in the next few days so that we can avoid default and do significant debt reduction. Both the Reid and Boehner plans have the same committee that would produce potentially some suggestions on entitlement reform. Now, that committee could deadlock at 6 Republicans and 6 Democrats. It's why the president was working with the Speaker of the House and willing to do a lot of tough things on entitlement that a lot of people in our party had a tough time swallowing. But he believes that reduce the deficit, it just can't be the easy things. You're going to have to do both tax reform and entitlement reform. So even though we're not going to get that done in the short term, the president's committed to making sure in the months to come we try and get a deficit reduction plan, a balance plan for the American people.
What happened in the last 7 or 8 days? Because it seems to have gotten so hostile from both sides. I mean, I know politics can sometimes, people are very passionate about their politics. We've got people leaving it, and it's like exchanging of insults. The president gets up and he throws in that corporate jet remark. By the way, I researched it. That was in the February 09 stimulus bill that the Democrats supported as well, going back to 1988 during the first George Bush presidency. But nonetheless, it gets thrown. I mean, the nastiness just keeps getting thrown around both sides.
Well, small thing, but that tax break that we want to repeal was not part of the stimulus package. But here's the thing. I think there was hope that the Speaker and the President and like-minded people could work on a big debt reduction package called the Grand Bargain. I think when that broke down last week and we've got this deadline in front of us, obviously the temperature is going to get a little hotter in Washington. But that's why I think the President made a very important point. We need to compromise. And what's interesting is the reports tonight, the President asked the American people to call Congress, let them know they want that if he wanted a balanced approach with compromise. And Capitol Hill is just getting deluged with calls from the American people who I think are frustrated, who want their leaders to simply compromise, to lower their voices, and try and find common ground. And I think any fair observer would say the president, through this process, has tried to do that, and that's what he's going to try and do in the days and months ahead.
How do you compromise on ideology? Because the Republican Party and the Democratic Party have very different views on how to handle this. It's not just, wrangling over a couple dollars here and there, but it really is, the size of government and, very different ideologies on how to solve this. How do you compromise that without coming off your principles for both parties?
Well, I think both parties have actually agreed, not every member of every party, but a lot, have agreed to about a sense of the amount of domestic spending we can cut. So that's good news. President and Speaker were very close in terms of what kind of entitlement reform to do. So that's good news. The big issue, I think, the big unresolved issue is revenue, where pretty much any neutral observer says the only way to get significant deficit reduction that doesn't put too much of the burden on seniors and the middle class is through tax reform to make sure the wealthiest Americans, through elimination of deductions and loopholes, participate as well. I think now, in the short-term process we're facing in the next week, we're not going to do entitlement reform or tax reform in the next week. So the question is, either of them would reduce spending significantly. So it's a good down payment on the deficit. But are we going to have this debt ceiling hanging over us 5 or 6 months from now?
Up next, we'll hear about several different plans that are in the works to try and keep the U.S. from defaulting on August 2nd.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without.
It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I have, dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right, then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Do you crave eggs? I do. Eggs are an incredible way to start your day. You've always heard that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, right? But a breakfast that contains eggs helps you stay full longer and keeps you energized throughout the day. And here's why. Eggs are a good source of all-natural, high-quality protein. Just one egg has lots of essential vitamins and minerals in varying amounts for just 70 calories. And an average of just 15 cents apiece, eggs are one of the most affordable sources of high-quality protein, and they deliver a big nutrient bang for your buck. From America to Asia, eggs are celebrated around the world for their versatility, affordability, and nutrient density. Take a trip around the world without even leaving your kitchen by visiting the recipe section of IncredibleEgg.org, home of the incredible edible egg.
There are a million reasons Staples makes going back to school easy. Today's reason? 4 gig flash drives for just $5.99. At that price, you don't have to shop around. In fact, you can get your kids a few extra flash drives, which means you won't have to hear,
"Mom, I left it in a computer. I'm just not sure which computer."
Or,
"My flash drive? I lost that, like, the first week of class."
Or our favorite,
"I gave it to my girlfriend. I made her a sweet playlist."
4 gig flash drives for just $5.99. Now it's Staples. That was easy. Valid while supplies last.
Women move the world, and Caltrate helps move them.
I asked my gram to sponsor me in her walkathon.
And I said, okay, but she'd have to sponsor me back, because I'm walking too.
Caltrate provides the essential calcium that helps keep bones strong and muscles moving. Caltrate gives us 1,200 milligrams of calcium and 800 IU of vitamin D.
We'll do the full 5 miles.
And do it together.
Caltrate helps women keep moving, because women move the world.
If you need to raise funds for your charity organization, Macy's Shop for a Cause is the perfect opportunity. Qualifying groups receive special tickets to sell for $5 each, and you keep 100% of the ticket proceeds, so sell as many as you can. On Saturday, August 27th, ticket buyers receive exclusive savings in every Macy's store nationwide and on Macy's.com. To see if your group qualifies and to sign up, go to Macy's.com/shopforacause.
This is the Talk Radio Countdown Show, focusing on the ongoing debt talks in Washington. Let's move to CNN now, where Christine Romans has a conversation about the difference between the House Speaker Boehner plan and the one proposed by Senator Harry Reid.
There are two plans on the table for now, the Democratic-backed Senator Reid plan and the Republican-led plan from Speaker Boehner. Let's begin with Senator Reid's blueprint. It cuts $2.7 trillion over the next decade, and a big piece of that is what Senator Reid calls the winding down of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, that'll save $1 trillion. Now, some Republicans have called that simply a gimmick, winding down and using that as cost savings, but some of those same savings, by the way, were counted in Republican budgets as well. Now, Reid's plan wouldn't reform or cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. There would also be no changes to taxes. Now, it would raise the debt ceiling $2.4 trillion. That's enough to fund the government through, all the way through next year's election. Now, the Boehner plan is more short-term. It would raise the debt ceiling in two steps. The first step happens immediately, raising the debt ceiling by about $1 trillion. Now, that would be accompanied by spending cuts of $1.2 trillion over 10 years. Now, that would get us to next year, when we could need a second vote, raising the debt ceiling again by another $1.6 trillion. Now, that increase would be contingent on additional cuts of $1.8 trillion, and they would have to be agreed to by a bipartisan committee. Now, this second vote, that's the sticking point for the president and Democrats. They say they don't want to go through this debate again, and they say the markets don't want to see that uncertainty. Republicans, though, say the president and Democrats don't want this hanging over what could be a contentious reelection campaign.
Radio host Greg Jarrett here with NBC's Chuck Todd. They talk about the president urging people to call their representatives about the situation that exists.
How about the president's server? Didn't people call him, too? Or I understand Boehner was on right after the president.
He was. I mean, I think that that made a lot of sense to make that plea 2 weeks ago when there was still time and the idea that we actually had a grand bargain sitting on the table. And there was truly where you could argue that you needed the public to weigh in, to push, to get, you know, both sides in some form or another off of their ideological talking point. It just felt late in the game. That was what was so odd about last night's speech, particularly the back-to-back part of it, right? You had the president speaking in the present tense as if this big deal could still happen. And you had Boehner speaking in the past tense. And both were simply framing the blame game.
Let's go back a little bit in history if we can, Chuck. I mean, this is nothing new, is it? I'm looking at a graph here on public debt, and it shows that we've been running at a pretty hard deficit since the 80s.
That's right. I mean, this isn't, you know, this is... There's certainly a lot of people in both parties that have bought into the Keynesian idea, right, which is, you know, deficits really don't matter that much. You know, what was it? There's a quote, I think, from Dick Cheney early in the Bush-Cheney administration where he says that, you know, because they thought early on they would get hit. Some argued, hey, Democrats are going to hit us for, quote, blowing the surplus. And the public doesn't get fired up about deficits. Well, it doesn't until it does, right? I mean, that's what we learned in 92. I think both parties thought that the Ross Perot could never make the debt an issue. Well, he did, right? And all of a sudden he forced both parties to focus on it in some form at different points in time in the 90s. So, you know, yes, we do run a high debt. And that's the other thing, by the way. There's a difference between deficit and debt, right? The deficit is the yearly amount of money that, you know, that we add to the debt if we don't take in, if we spend more than the amount of revenues that we take in. Obviously, for a few years, there was actually a surplus, which meant we took in more money than we spent and then used that money to pay down some of the debt.
But there was still a huge amount of debt.
There's still debt, exactly. There's still been accumulated debt, right? We've not been debt-free. God, I don't know.
Well, I'm looking 1940, I think.
Yeah, I think that might have been the last time we were
debt-free. So if you want to blame somebody, like if you're, you know, a fan of the current administration, you can't blame the previous administration. If you're a fan of the previous administration, you can't blame the Clinton administration and so on and so forth. It goes back and back and back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the issue here is what do you do when you're running near to your deficit? And that's that should be more the focus and more the debate.
Is there any hope at this point? I mean, the downgrade appears almost inevitable because even if they came to an agreement today, could they do anything by the 2nd of August, which is next week now?
Well, look, they're going to avoid the default. I mean, this idea that, you know, something's going to get through the House and Senate. They have to. And in fact, you know, people forget the Speaker of the House has the ability to just stand up there and just say, you know, the ayes, the nays, and it doesn't matter whose voices are louder, he can just declare something passed if he needed to. In effect, that happened fairly recently on the debt ceiling where they didn't even bother with a roll call vote, and they just instead did a voice vote just to hurry up and get it through because some people didn't want to get on the record. So they'll get this debt ceiling raised even if it's for 6 months, whatever it is. The question is, and there are some ratings agencies who are looking at the politics of Washington and saying, you know what, there's no way these guys, and there's no way this political system, say in the next 2 to 4 years, is going to be in good enough shape to do a long-term deficit reduction plan that tackles the entitlements, that tackles the tax code. You know, that basically it is the two parties are too, the whole thing is too dysfunctional, and that's where you could get a ratings downgrade, right? A AAA to AA minus, where I think S&P is threatening that issue, regardless of the debt ceiling issue. But that's what I'm talking
about. Up next, more conversation about the president, the speaker, and the debt ceiling when the Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market is in for another crash. Real estate is already in a double-dip recession, and if you want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed, I said enough is enough. I searched and discovered a way to safely grow my money, participate in potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Plus, it could save you thousands in taxes. I want you to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Call 1-800-675-1640 right now to get your free copy. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. I'm giving away a limited number of copies today, so call 1-800-675-1640.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Moving along, Talk Radio, Talk Television, the focus on the debt ceiling, whether that makes good sense or not. What do you think? 800-510-8255. Here, host Steve Scott talks to political analyst Dr. Larry Sabatow about the political games being played by both sides here.
This seems to have turned into a game of political chicken.
Well, it is a game of political chicken, and it's so much more than that because the stakes are so high. One wonders what will happen, although I do think one way or the other they'll find a way to raise the debt limit. I don't know that it will be a deal or a compromise. It may be a capitulation by one side to the other.
Who has the most to lose in this? The president, John Boehner, the entire Congress, or the American people, I guess?
Well, I'd go with the country, since potentially this could damage an already weak economy, and then all of us would suffer if somehow it went to default. Eventually, the creditworthiness of the United States would be downgraded, and all of us would be paying higher interest rates on our credit cards and loans, and the country as a whole would have to pay a higher rate on its debt as well. So it could prove to be very costly for us all.
We're a week away from the debt deadline, but we're just a few months away from the first primaries in the 2012 election cycle. Will voters remember this?
What they're going to most remember is the state of the economy. That's what the election is about. To the extent that the debt crisis becomes a factor in weakening the economy, then yes, it will be discussed, and yes, it will matter. But truly, people are focused on jobs, the unemployment rate, the lack of economic growth, the fact that the country is in a terrible state economically. That is what is going to drive the election of 2012. And either the economy will improve, at which point President Obama will be reelected, or the economy won't improve, and the Republican will win as long as the Republicans nominate a mainstream candidate. And that's a key proviso.
How big a thorn in the side to this process are the Tea Party Republicans who were elected in 2010 with, they say, a mandate?
Well, they're uncompromising. They believe that they have the freshest mandate because it occurred in 2010, 2 years after President Obama's mandate, and they're determined to have their way. They are not willing to compromise. Some are not even willing to acknowledge that we have to increase the debt limit or that going into default would have serious consequences, which I think is lunacy. But that's their view. They were elected, and they're determined to hold that position.
Host Jack Ricciardi with Congressman Quico Canseco of Texas about the Tea Party.
It seems to me like they hear the Tea Party, but they're not quite getting the message.
I listened to both of those speeches, Congressman, Speaker Boehner and President Obama, and I realize there are differences, but I don't feel like either one of them is prepared to really administer the bitter pill. They're both reassuring us that we can have it all and figure out how to pay for it.
You know, we've got a huge problem in our country, and I think that the American people have opened up their eyes to that huge problem, and that is that we have a huge spending problem and not a revenue problem. And how much further do we have to dig in order to realize that we cannot dig ourselves out of this debt by spending more and giving a fatter credit card to the spender-in-chief? It cannot happen. And what I heard last night was that the president wants nothing new to his stance other than more taxes and more spending, and unless we have more taxes, more spending, we're not going to get out of this. And that doesn't make any sense to anybody in this country. What we're going to be doing by increasing the debt of this country is by making matters even worse. And we are literally putting that burden on our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. As of right now, every household in America is obligated to $120,000.
Right.
And by increasing the debt ceiling, we're adding another $20,000 to each of those households.
Up next, we shift the focus to the accuser in the Strauss-Kahn case. That's up next on the Talk Radio Review.
Join Macy's in Reading is Fundamental and Be Book Smart. Now through Sunday, July 31st, give $3 to provide a book for a child, and we'll give you $10 off a purchase of $50 or more. Macy's will donate your $3 to Reading is Fundamental to help reach our goal of giving 1 million books to kids. Be Book Smart, now through Sunday, July 31st at Macy's. Exclusions apply. See a sales associate for details. Learn more at Macy's.com/RIS.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here with breaking news. Let's go to Jim in the chopper.
Hey, Flo, looks like Progressive is offering the Snapshot discount. It's their biggest discount ever. Should be huge.
That's big, Jim. But what's with the chopper?
What do you mean? It's a chopper. Choppers are sweet.
They kind of are.
The Snapshot discount. It's new. It's a big deal. And it's finally here. Learn more at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayville Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Snapshot is not available in all states.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. Making the transition back to civilian life or active duty with a traumatic injury can be the challenge of a lifetime. The USO provides every American a way to support our wounded warriors and their families through every phase of their medical treatment and rehabilitation. It's how all of us, as a community, can give something back to our heroes. It's how we can say thank you and assure them that their sacrifice is recognized and appreciated by every one of us. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in the lives of our wounded warriors and their families. The USO, until everyone comes home.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN or call 800-332-OPTICS, 800-332-6784.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans? Then listen up. Join American Third Position, a new political party formed to liberate the American people from the banksters who have overthrown the Republic. American Third Position advocates maximum liberty, limited government, and traditional morality. For more information, call 800-513-4928 or go to a3p.me, a3p.me. That's A, the number 3, P.me. It's time to take America back.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop!
stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning, and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Second half hour of this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown. I'm Doug Steffen. The attention now is focused on the Strauss-Kahn case. Remember the diplomat, and well, you know the story. So we go to CNN, where Anderson Cooper talked to legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin and Newsweek's Christopher Dickey about the accuser in this case, who seems to be going to great lengths to do interviews about her case.
In your opinion, you interviewed her. Was Fatou Diallo believable when you sat down and talked with her?
Yeah, I thought she was very believable when she was talking about the incident itself, the alleged attempted rape and sexual assault. Not only because she told that story consistently many, many times, but also because we know that almost all the physical evidence, or all of it, supports her case, and also because we haven't heard from Dominique Strauss-Kahn any version of the case. She's basically a simple woman. She's illiterate. She can't read. She can't write in any language. And her job is a job that gave her a great source of pride. And when she started talking about her fear that somehow dealing with this crazy naked guy in this room was going to create a situation where she was going to lose her job, that filled in a big blank in terms of my understanding of the case.
You do write in the piece that at times her tears seemed forced.
Yeah, when she was talking about other things. But that wasn't the case when she was telling the story of the alleged criminal assault.
Jeff, you see these interviews as an act of desperation by her lawyers. How so?
Because this case is hanging by a thread. The prosecutor has made clear publicly that there are enormous credibility problems with Ms. Diallo, and her lawyers are trying to go public in an effort to put public pressure on Vance not to drop the case.
I don't think her lawyers actually believe that this case will ever go to trial as a criminal case, but I do think that they want to keep the investigation going. They want to keep the wheels turning for a while, because I think they're going to lodge a civil suit very soon.
Well, and they've said that they're going to bring a civil suit, which frankly undermines her credibility even more, because it plays into Dominique Strauss-Kahn's lawyer's claim that this is all a money grab on her part.
Chris, in your article, you discussed a phone conversation she had with somebody, I believe, who was in prison. When it was originally recounted, I think in the New York Times, it made it seem like she was going to be hitting a DSK up for money and that this was about money. But there's been another translation of it. Does it exonerate her, or does it still make her seem kind of suspicious?
Well, it makes her seem a little less suspicious. First of all, even the way it was presented in the New York Times, it was a conversation that took place after the incident. She's talking to somebody. She's telling him what's going on. He's asking her if she can take care of herself. She's saying she can. The thing that seemed incriminating was she says he's got a lot of money. I know how to take care of this is essentially what was attributed to her. But that was not based on an actual transcript of the conversation, which isn't to say that the prosecutors don't have something to worry about. They absolutely do, because the big problem for them is that on her asylum application, she lied about a rape, about having been raped under certain circumstances, and she memorized the account of that so that she could tell it and make people cry when she told the story and was all a lie. So you put her on the stand with that bit of information about her, and there's no way you're going to cross the threshold of proving beyond a reasonable doubt that she's telling the truth.
Host Ron Upshaw and Don O'Neill talking about the media tour that the accuser seems to be doing to try to make her case.
They look at her story. They find out that it's like, okay, you have some DNA evidence, but he's admitting that the DNA evidence is his. So we don't need to test it. He's already confirming that. And then they had her caught in a lie. They had her, when this incident happened, I guess continuing to clean rooms and not reporting this or not freaking out, like going to business as usual. Then she was caught having a telephone conversation saying she could make a lot of money off of this case. And so their case is falling apart. And now she's gone public, and she's on Good Morning America. How does this play out?
They're saying they're saying that they accused a man of actually raping her before. So this isn't the first time, allegedly, that she's made these accusations.
She got into this country because she said she was a rape victim.
Yeah, and so it had something to do with getting her green card. And then also, the reason why she's saying she had to go on Good Morning America is because some of the papers in New York are saying that all she is a high-priced call girl, and that she was doing her chambermaid stuff, slash she was also a hooker, and that she was charging money. So
I don't know call her high price.
And they're saying that she was upset with him because they had agreed upon a price, and then he wasn't willing to pay it, and then he kicked her out of the room.
Okay, so
that's why she's going after him. That's what.
But
it's an
ongoing case. On Good Morning America.
It's not an ongoing case, though. She knows, and her lawyers know, that this is going to get dropped. And so before it gets dropped, what they're trying to do is they're trying to humanize it. They're trying to make her believable, and our attorney already said no matter what happens that they're going to come out and file a big-time civil lawsuit against him. So all they're trying to do right now, I think they know they're going to ratchet this up and that she's willing to go on and make his life miserable and keep making accusations. Give me a check, and I'll go away. I think that's what this was all about.
Where's Zanny the Nanny when you need her?
Up next, we move to last week's horrific shooting in Norway. The Talk Radio Countdown Show will continue.
GEICO makes it so simple to save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. But why stop there? GEICO finds every possible way to save you even more money. Good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, even good student discounts. And don't forget our Looking Fine discount, a discount for all the attractive folk like yourselves. Okay, there's not really a Looking Fine discount, just seeing if you're paying attention. It's not a bad idea, though.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The greatest speeches.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Of all time.
Because this is the party of Lincoln and Reagan.
On The Conservative Voice.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The Conservative Voice. A two-disc DVD or CD containing some of the most powerful speeches ever. Featured are Ronald Reagan.
Our government is too big.
Sarah Palin.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
George W. Bush.
I can hear you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Highlights of speeches from some of the most legendary figures in American political history can be yours now. Here's how to order.
To order, go to www.conservativevoice.us/Doug. That's conservativevoice.us/Doug. conservativevoice.us/Doug.
Dr. Ken and Doug with a health question. Does your stomach feel like a war zone? Are you downing over-the-counter stomach aids and antacids like there's no tomorrow? And still, nothing relieves your pain, irritation, bloating, minor gas, and constipation?
Doug, as an MD, I see so many patients needlessly suffering from these symptoms. Relief can be as simple as balancing your digestive health. This is why my first recommendation is to simply add Natron's Healthy Trinity, a brilliant probiotic. Again, if you suffer with occasional stomach pain, irritation, bloating, minor gas, and constipation, let us prove to you how quickly a healthy probiotic regimen can turn things around.
Natron's Healthy Trinity, the pioneer of probiotics for 30 years, serious probiotics. Try the Good Day Healthy Trinity 90-Day Challenge. If you don't have a happy, healthier tummy in 90 days, Natron gives you your money back, no questions asked. Mention Good Day Health for a free second-day shipping and a free second bottle. Call 888-9-NATREN, N-A-T-R-E-N, 888-962-8736 or natron.com.
When you're shopping for a home at Wells Fargo, we're with you. That's why we created the Wells Fargo Priority Buyer Pre-Approval. Come in, sit down, and talk with a Wells Fargo home mortgage consultant, and we'll let you know the mortgage loan range for which you could qualify. A Priority Buyer Pre-Approval is a great first step to help you start looking at homes within your price range. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. A Priority Buyer Pre-Approval is not a commitment to lend. Please call for additional program details. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
On the Talk Radio Countdown, we now turn to the shooting in Norway. A lot of people are talking about this, 76 people dead. Bill Hemmer talked to former counterterrorism analyst Michael Schur about the shooter, who claims that he did not act alone.
According to an attorney, the accused, Anders Breivik, says he's not sorry for what he did, views himself as a savior, and suggests he may not have acted alone. He's 32 years old. The anti-immigrant extremist says he set off the bombs to, quote, save Europe from Muslim influence. Do we believe him when he says he did not act alone?
I think the shooting could have been done alone, Bill, but it would be very hard for me to imagine that he didn't have some help on the bomb. It was a pretty effective bomb, and there was a lot of material that went into it. So it seems to me that unless he spent an inordinate amount of time doing it by himself in secret, that he probably did have some kind of help.
He says he's part of an organization that has cells all over Europe. Now, do these cells exist? And if so, what's their issue?
Well, organization is probably a little bit strong, but I think in terms of anti-immigrant sympathizers, that there's no doubt that they have a wide association of those people across Europe. Europe has always been much more racist than the United States, for example, and so have been some people have been very angered by the unrestricted immigration into the European community and the sense that governments favor the immigrants over people who have been there a long time.
What he described is two more cells in an organization he called the Knights Templar. Have you heard of this before, or what is that?
Well, the Knights Templar were, of course, people who were in the employ of the Catholic Church and protected the Holy Land for pilgrims coming there, fighting the Muslims during the Crusades and afterwards. And so it's a very strong historical precedent that he was referring to, and unfortunately, the way we teach history, many people won't recognize it. But he's certainly playing on themes in Western European history of Christian history that are very strong.
Yeah, that goes back to the late 1600s, I believe. That was in his manifesto. I think
even before that,
1683, is that what he's referring to?
Well, 1683, I think he's referring to the Muslims got to the gates of Vienna in Austria before they were defeated. The Knights Templar were a fraternal order of monks, Catholic monks, who fought during the Crusades, which were in the 11th, 12th, and 13th centuries.
Well, the manifesto is 1,500 words long, and the judge said that he believes that he needed to carry out these acts to save Norway and save all of Western Europe.
Radio man Tom Rose here with Gary Bauer, who also is a talk show host. They talk about the news media's attempts to connect right-wing bloggers to the terrorist act carried out last week in Norway.
Big media jumps all over themselves to try and find a Christian connection when there is no Christian connection, yet they do exactly the opposite to avoid any Islamic connections to Muslim terror.
The New York Times.
That must have been quite a shock, by the way, for you. You take the weekend off, you come back, next thing you know, you're responsible for mass murder.
It's incredible. The New York Times and the Washington Post twist themselves into the shapes of pretzels to try to not identify Islam in any way. When somebody yells, Allah is the greatest, Allah Akbar, before they open fire and kill either our soldiers at Fort Hood or blow up a synagogue or try to hijack a plane and fly it into a building. But this guy has on his website Christian, and there's some question about whether the website was actually real or not. And the New York Times and Washington Post are off to the races referring to him as a right-wing Christian. Tom, I actually read not the whole 1,500 pages, but...
I was going to say, you need to check yourself into the nearest mental institution. If anybody plowed through that thing.
Exactly. But I read enough to know that this guy was bizarre. I mean, he obviously, I hope I don't have to say for your listeners, there was nothing he did in that... evil attack that in any way reflected any of the teachings of Jesus Christ, who is, after all, the individual that gets to define what Christianity is.
I just want to clarify. I'm Jewish. I just want to make sure I understand. So Jesus would not justify the murder of 93 young people?
No, okay. he wouldn't. His whole message, of course, is the exact opposite. Now, unfortunately, when Islamic extremists who are responsible for 99.9999999% of all terrorist attacks mows down individual people, unfortunately, there are dozens of verses attributed to Muhammad that would justify those actions, and there are theological leaders of Islam. There are leaders of whole Islamic nations. There are mosques all over the world by the thousands who will make excuses for such attacks, say they are consistent with Islam, and demand that other Muslims join in doing the same thing. You will find no church, no head of a denomination, no religious leader, from the Pope to the head of the Southern Baptists, that will try to defend, make excuses for, or somehow suggest what this murdering slob in Norway did was in any way consistent with the Christian faith.
Here's talk host Michael Patrick Shields talking to a travel journalist named Larry Olmsted. He was in Norway last week when the shooting occurred.
Tell me your experience being inside Norway when something like that happened.
Well, I mean, it was very reminiscent to me of 9/11. You know, we're sitting around and phone starts ringing and texts and emails start coming in. You know, have you seen what's happening? And everyone turns on the TV. We were staying with a Norwegian family, so we weren't, you know, in a hotel or anything. And, you know, so we kind of saw it through their eyes. And, you know, then there's this explosion in downtown and nobody knows what happens. And then, you know, a little while later, it's a bombing rather than, you know, a water main break or something. And then shots ring out, and, you know, at each stage it gets worse, and there's this uncertainty. No one really knows what's going on. So it's just this real atmosphere of, you know, is the world coming to an end kind of thing.
76 people dead in a country where really they're not used to that kind of violence, are they?
Not at all. You know, it's like London used to be. The police don't even carry guns there.
How far away from Oslo were you?
Oh, a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Just in that sort of the countryside up the coast.
You were with the family that you were with. What were, you know, seeing it through their eyes in a place where they weren't just visiting, they lived there. What did they say? What was their reaction?
Well, I mean, I got to say, you know, the first presumption everybody had was that it was external Muslim terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Norway has been targeted before. They've been a staunch ally of the U.S. They participate in all of the military actions. And, you know, years ago, if you remember those Danish cartoons, they reprinted them in their papers and as a result have sort of a, you know, death notice on them.
And then some of the details started to come out that one person could be responsible for the death of 76 people is really unimaginable. What was it like at the airport? Was the security ratcheted up? Because you left shortly after the attack, right?
Yeah, and I flew out through Oslo, and I flew, you know, Scandinavian Airlines, and they did have a notice that security would be enhanced and lines would be longer to take extra time. But I didn't really notice anything. You know, there were some military with machine guns walking around the airport, but that's actually pretty common in Europe, so it's hard to tell whether that was, you know, ramped up or not.
Up next, we'll shift our gears to look at the Republican presidential candidates. That's here on our Talk Radio Countdown.
Do you remember when you were in school and someone yelled fight after school between so-and-so?
The Sons of Liberty.
It would go through the entire school in about 15 minutes. And about 90% of the school population would be there on top of the hill to see who would win the fight. Are you starting to get what I'm saying? It's time to fight the good fight, but you have to get into it first.
The Sons of Liberty, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Central Time at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Alex Jones here with vital information concerning our nation's fragile food supply. Folks, there are some truly dangerous trends forming, and I think it's important for my listeners to do three things right away. Number one, study the past. History really does repeat itself. Number two, learn to spot the dangerous food shortage trends. Number three, take decisive action. A perfect storm is brewing, or a global food crisis. That's why I'm telling everyone to read the new book, Rising Prices, Empty Shelves, Warning Signs That Trigger the Deadliest Famines in History. Don't get caught unprepared when the crisis hits. This book is only available at risingprices.emptyshelves.com. You'll also get a free copy of Supermarket Survival, How to Cut Your Grocery Bills in Half. Again, that website is risingprices.emptyshelves.com. That's risingprices.emptyshelves.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The focus are the radio and television programs that are looking into the presidential race and who's running. And here from MSNBC, Thomas Roberts, with correspondent Domenico Montanaro. They focus on the battle that seems to be brewing between Tim Pawlenty and Michelle Bachmann.
It is shaping up to be a Minnesota throwdown. The war of words erupting between former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Here's what Pawlenty had to say today on the campaign trail.
She has a record for saying things. There's a big difference between talking about things and getting them done.
Let's bring in NBC political reporter Domenico Montanaro, who's joining me now from D.C. to talk about this. So why would Tim Pawlenty take aim at Michelle Bachmann so directly, and what is she saying in return to that?
Well, this is all about the Ames straw poll, which is coming up in less than 3 weeks. You know, it's really something that's a key first organizational test in a really a key nominating state. So, you know, Tim Pawlenty is really registered in the single digits. Michelle Bachmann has been out front, in fact, even leading in some recent Iowa polls. And Tim Pawlenty really needs to take her down to be able to, you know, hope to have some momentum to have a case going forward for his campaign.
So is this just smart politics right now? Because Tim Pawlenty has been seen weak in terms of taking on Mitt Romney. Now maybe he's going to try to appear strong taking on Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah, well, he just has to be able to at least finish in the top two in Iowa. If he doesn't do that, it can be a little bit difficult to see his path going forward with Mitt Romney so far ahead in New Hampshire. South Carolina doesn't necessarily look like a fit for Pawlenty, but if he can take down someone like Bachmann, then, you know, then maybe there's some reason to continue. And, you know, Ames is a really important part of that because it can give some momentum. Mike Huckabee won it in 2007, and of course he went on to win the caucuses in January.
Jeff Katz on his radio program talked to Newt Gingrich about what he thinks needs to be done about the debts.
Is this reminiscent of you and Bill Clinton going head-to-head?
Well, I think there are three big differences. The first is that we had control of the Senate. So we had a unified congressional branch that was able to negotiate with the president where Speaker Boehner has a much more complicated environment. The second was we had a much better economy. We were taking unemployment from 5.6% down to ultimately about 4.2% during the period I was Speaker. And so people were leaving Medicaid, leaving food stamps, leaving unemployment, leaving welfare, going back to work, paying taxes. It was a huge asset. And then finally, Bill Clinton was just a much more practical, much more moderate person than Barack Obama. I mean, Clinton had come out of Arkansas. He understood governing from the center. He had actually created the Democratic Leadership Council to try to move the Democratic Party towards the center. And here you've got the most liberal, maybe radical president in American history, very rigid personality. Now, he's faced with a terrible economy. I describe it as the Obama Depression. 9.2% unemployment, 16% underemployment, dropped out of work and unemployment combined. One of every six Americans. One of every six Americans is on food stamps. Instead of trying to find practical ways to cooperate, he basically says, you know, do it my way or we're not going to do it at all. Well, you can't govern like that. You can't get things done like that. And I think that he faces a very real danger of adding the Obama default to the Obama Depression as his economic record. And my hunch is in the end that Secretary of Treasury Gagnon will make him understand he can't do this, that he's going to have to at some point sign a short-term agreement. He's going to have to find a way to avoid a default.
Now, Mr. Speaker, you obviously stay in touch with any number of the Republicans, and probably a fair share of Democrats on Capitol Hill. Has anybody come away with a perception of Barack Obama that's different than the one you and I might have just in the general public? I look at him and I see a guy who just strikes me as immature and petulant and just downright nasty.
Yeah, I think the impression I get from the people I've talked with is that the talks are very unpleasant, that he totally dominates them, that he lectures everybody, that he says that he's the only smart guy in the room, and he tries to impose his values, and he doesn't listen. I mean, it's pretty clear the Republican Party is not going to vote for a tax increase. That's what the 2010 election was all about. That's what the 2012 election is going to be about. There's a fundamental difference between people who want a smaller Washington government and a bigger private sector economy,
right,
and people who want a lot bigger bureaucracy, even if it kills jobs. And I think he hasn't come to grips with the fact that this is not a campaign. He has to actually govern. It's a long way off from the election, and you can't just go around making speeches and thinking that does the job. And he will be faced with, within a very few days, some very, very difficult decisions. And my hope is he's going to listen to people like Secretary of Treasury Gagnon and decide that he has to sign some kind of short-term debt ceiling extension.
So we have three or four really good topics, good things, good stories to follow. We can follow all of these things. The focus on the Talk Radio Countdown Show box, it's at DougStephan.com.